Glory be to God. Praise be to God. Everyone say, praise be.
Praise be.
Praise be.
Praise be.
Talking about colonial terminology, that was a colonial term. Praise be. They would say, praise be. And they would say, God be praised. God be praised. Praise be and God be praised. Thank you, Goody Hamill. Hallelujah. You're over there in Luke chapter 1, are you? Are you there? Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I seem to be drifting around up here, but I'm really not. I'm listening on the inside. Hallelujah. I get a pretty good idea of where we're going. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Prayed up. Hallelujah. 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 You know, Jesus said when you fast, anoint your head with oil. Don't go around boasting to people that you're fasting. They appear to be spiritual. But it just comes into my heart to tell you. And if the whole, well, praise the Lord. It'd be February that I've been fasting for 1 year, isn't it? Fasting during the day and only eating during the evening, with the exception of three or four times in the past 8-9 months that we've been here, that we had an afternoon lunch appointment. I went ahead and ate during that time. But coming up in February, it will be 1 year that I've been not eating breakfast or lunch. Just eat later in the day, in the early evening. Partial fasting, you can do that. It's powerful. Amen? It'll help you. It'll help you. Amen? There's only three times Paul fasted in the Bible, in the New Testament. The New Testament doesn't teach a whole lot about fasting. But we see that the Apostle Paul fasted three times during three different occasions in his life, for three different periods in his life, during times of extreme crisis and danger, when he really needed to hear the voice of God more clearly than he already did hear. Amen. And to increase his anointing over Satan and demon powers. I'm going to say that again. There's three times. It's my Christmas message. This is what the Holy Spirit's leading me to do, to tell you this. I no more thought of this yesterday, last night, this past week, this morning. It's coming out of my spirit to tell you this. Three times Paul fasted. The New Testament doesn't teach a whole lot about fasting. Amen? We don't have to go on 40-day fast like people in the Old Testament who didn't have the Holy Spirit. Amen? We have the Holy Spirit on the inside. We don't need to fast the way that those people did. Now, there are times when God will lead an individual into a supernatural fast. I have a friend from Bible school from Korea. Her name is Sunny Kim. And she was dying of colon cancer. And the Lord told her, the Holy Spirit has to tell you to do things like this. So don't ever do it unless you know the Holy Spirit told you to do it, because you could die. She fasted for 40 days with no food and no water. And she passed all the cancer out of her body through her bowels. She was supernaturally healed. And that was a testimony that I have her share in Bible school. It was supernatural. She got a hold of Brother Hagin's ministry. Ended up in Tulsa. I think she's in Korea pastoring right now. And she might be at Yonggi Cho's church, who, by the way, has the largest church in the world. Yonggi Cho has 100,000 associates and helps ministers in his church. Associates and helps ministers. 100,000 people who work with him in ministry. I think he's got over 1 million people in his church. It's the largest church in the world. Amen. Well, Sunny Kim may have come out of that church, but she fasted for 40 days and 40 nights with no food and water. That's a supernatural fast. You can't go 3-4 days without water. Amen. You die. You can't go 40 days. But Moses did that in the wilderness. That was supernatural. She did that in the presence of God, by the instruction of God. We don't do that unless he tells us to do that. But there are three times that we see Paul fast in the Bible. During times of extreme crisis and danger. You can go find them all in the book of Acts. Amen. When he really needed to hear the voice of God and to increase his anointing over Satan and demon powers. You will be amazed how the anointing of God will increase in your life in these three areas if you'll just do what Sister Marilyn Hickey does, on Monday, she doesn't eat breakfast. Now, you have to be led by the Lord how you do it. Partial fasting, amen? Partial fasting is scriptural. Daniel fasted. He said, I ate no pleasant bread. We would say we eat no dessert. He ate just what was necessary to keep him alive, but he fasted, you know, sweets and things like that. Amen? Marilyn Hickey. For decades, she's done this. No breakfast on Monday. But on Monday, she eats lunch and dinner. On Tuesday, she eats breakfast. But she doesn't eat lunch and she does eat dinner. On Wednesday, she eats breakfast and lunch and doesn't eat dinner. And then she goes back through that cycle again. For decades, she's been doing it. She's reached the world. She's heard from God. She's taken authority over Satan and demon power. She's come through some major crises in life and ministry by living that cycle of partial fasting. Amen. The Lord's put it on my heart, beginning last February, to just stop eating during the day, with limited exceptions. And I've been doing that for a year in February. Amen. It has to do with what's coming to Cape Cod. It had to do with us coming here. It has to do with us being here. It has to do with what God's going to do. Listen, I didn't plan on saying this to you this morning, but I'm going to ask everybody in this room to ask the Lord if He wants you to partially fast with me through the end of February. And if He does, how? If He doesn't, don't do it. No condemnation. I'm not going to come around with my little recorder and say, now, Helen, tell me what God told you. It's up to you guys. Amen? But this is what's in my heart this morning. It just came into my heart. I'm going to carry it through to the end of February. I believe, in the beginning of February. I'm going to carry it through to the end of February. Maybe God would just have you on Monday not eat breakfast, Tuesday not eat lunch. Whatever. Maybe He just might have you one day a week not eat breakfast or lunch, but eat dinner. Just one day. And when the sun goes down, eat your dinner. Amen? Would you do that? Would you at least ask the Lord? Do you want me to do this with the pastor? And if so, how do you want me to do it? And He'll tell you as individuals exactly what it is He wants you to do. How's that? Amen? Something's cooking. Some in the room know what's cooking already. Amen? There's big good things coming to Cape Cod. Amen? Hallelujah. And the devil doesn't want it to happen. But a little bit of fasting. Just a little bit. It's easy to do. Amen? Especially when you're doing it by the grace of God, when the Holy Spirit's told you to do it. There's hardly any hunger pangs. I used to call them hunger pains. So Barbara said, John, it's pangs, not pains. I said, no, it's pains, Barbara. Okay. When the Holy Spirit leads you, it's easy. He gracious you. Philippians 2:13 says what, nice and loud?
For it's God who puts it in your heart to do His will, and then He'll help you do it.
God puts it in your heart to do His will, and then He helps you to do it. Amen? He's a good God. He graces us to do it. Amen? So praise the Lord. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we just ask You to show us what You want us to do with the pastor concerning this word of partial fasting, Father. Show them, God, what it is You want them to do. One day a week, 2 days a week, every day of the week. You're going to tell everybody for themselves what You want them to do. And it's going to result in power. More power. We need a power increase around here, Father. In the name of Jesus, we need increased anointing over Satan and demon spirits, and we need to be hearing from You more. We need the gifts of the Spirit to be operating. God, we're teaching on them, Father, and faith is coming for the gifts of the Spirit. We're even seeing them in operation in our midst, Father, unlike any time since we started coming together over 8 months ago now. But we need more, Father. We're not satisfied. We're not satisfied. So we ask You to show each of us as individuals what it is we need to do to increase the anointing on our lives so we can be more effective in prayer, more effective in life, and more effective in ministry. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the Spirit of God. Luke chapter 1. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1. Where are we? Luke chapter 1, okay? We're in Luke chapter 1, aren't we? Move along, Pastor. Move along. And in the sixth month, verse 26, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. The sixth month of what? 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy. If you go back and read that in context. Elizabeth is pregnant 6 months, and here the angel Gabriel comes from God to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, that word is actually graced, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou above women, among women. Mary was a human being. Amen? She was a human being. She had blood that came from Adam, just like we have blood that comes from Adam. Amen? One of the world's largest denominations believes that Mary was sinless, that the Immaculate Conception wasn't Jesus was birthed immaculately, but Mary was. The denomination I grew up in. Well, that's wrong. She's not blessed above women. She's blessed amongst women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not. And the last thing an angel wants you to do when he appears to you is to be afraid. Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. I know. I've been in their presence. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Or Yahweh is our Savior. Amen? You will conceive in your womb. What gift of the Spirit is that in operation? The word of wisdom. Shalt, future tense. The word of wisdom, a supernatural revelation from the mind of God concerning people, places, things, or events, always having to do with the
future.
Good students. Good students, the best students. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. It's a word, and it came through an angel. Mary had a vision of an angel. The angels of God operate in the gifts of the Spirit just like men. Amen. Hallelujah. That angel that appeared and came to me in a dream, and he said that the Lord sent him to me to tell me that I would place my feet on the soil of no less than 35 nations of this world and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given me a word of wisdom. Amen? Well, hallelujah. And shall call his name Jesus. Everybody has a name. Amen? Everybody has a name that identifies them. You have a name. I have a name. God has a name. Everybody in your family has a name. Amen? And God knows our names. He calls us by name. I've had God call me son. I've had the still small voice of God speak to me and call me John. I've had him call me honey. I've had God in my spirit speak to me and call me honey. Hallelujah. God knows us. He knows our names. He knows who we are, knows everything about each one of us. Amen. And God sent His only Son into the world and gave Him a name. And His name is Jesus. Amen. And this is the time of the year that tradition recognizes the birth of Jesus. Yahweh, our Savior. Human, sinless, human, sinless, willing to die, and divine. Jesus. Go to John chapter 6, if you would. We'll just follow the Holy Spirit here this morning. Jesus our Savior. Yahweh our Savior. Jesus our Savior. Our willing Savior. Human Savior. Sinless Savior. Divine Savior. He had to be human because sin occurred through a human. Amen? Our Savior had to be human. Amen? Human, humanity sinned. Only humanity could pay for their own sins. Amen? Willing, Because God wasn't going to accept Jesus going to the cross kicking and screaming. Hebrews 9:14 says that the Holy Spirit graced him to go to the cross willingly with the proper attitude. He was human. He was willing. He was sinless. And that his blood didn't come from Joseph. It came from God. He had to be sinless because God doesn't accept imperfect sacrifices. And he had to be divine because this willing, sinless human, once he paid the penalty for our sins, had to have the ability to raise from the dead. That's why Jesus had to be human, willing, sinless, and divine. I'm just impressed to share that with you this morning. Amen? Our Savior. That's why I don't care who gripes about what I did on TV recently, what I do out in the street greeting people, I will continue to do it. Merry Christmas! And yes, I do mean Christ. You will not intimidate me into not celebrating the birth of Jesus, to not using the name Christ. I'm not putting the Christmas decorations away this year and putting on the box Xmas decorations. It's Jesus Christ decorations. Are you with me on this? Hallelujah. God gave him that name, Jesus. It's the name above all names. And we're not ashamed of it. Jesus Christ. That word Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. Christ, the anointed one. He's the only one of all the holidays that are celebrated. Jesus' birthday. It's not his birthday. I believe he was born in April. It doesn't make any difference. It's a celebration of Christ. It's the only holiday, Satan. Jesus is the only person who ever claimed to be divine that Satan moves to desecrate. He promotes everybody else, but he desecrates Jesus. Get a clue. What is that all about? He's revealing his hand. Amen? But some folks are too dull, too dense, see, they're spiritually dead and ruled by pride, to even to recognize. There's folks over at Home Depot, folks over at Kmart, folks over at Trader Joe's. Dense! Spiritually dead. Ruled by pride. And they're not going to tell me that I cannot say Merry Christmas in the post office at Trader Joe's that came out in the street on television. Amen? Hallelujah. Come on. I'm just trying to stir y'all up. Tell folks, Merry Christmas when they say Happy Holidays. They'll receive that greeting saying Merry Christmas to you. Hallelujah. We're not ashamed of Jesus' name. Amen? Listen, over here in John's Gospel, Jesus gave himself six names. I want to look at them real quick. Amen? Hallelujah. Six things or names which Jesus gave to himself, all that, you know, perfectly describe him. We'll just kind of go through them quickly and just see what the Holy Spirit has to say about them. You okay with this morning? Hallelujah. Names are important. Amen? I'm going to say it again. Pastor, you can be redundant at times. That's because I'm a good teacher. And I don't get off a point, even if I feel it's bouncing off folks. And folks who want me, move on, move on. Somebody said to Brother Hagin, you've been teaching on the power of words for 60 years. And he said, well, as soon as you get it down, we'll move on to something else. That's what he told that woman. As soon as you get it down, we'll move on to something else. Amen? Power in names. There's power in names. I'm not going to be intimidated into not saying Merry Christmas, not using Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not giving into the Ramadan Kwanzaa lie. We claim December 25th in Jesus' name. You want the 24th? Take it. You want the 26th? Take it. Do what you want. But leave the 25th alone. That's ours. It's a Christian holiday. We're not backing off. Amen. I'm not giving into it. Hallelujah. I'm stumping for Jesus today. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said about himself, he said to them, I am the bread of life. Oh, that word bread. If you have your Bible on your computer, on your laptop, like we do on our laptop, you right click on that word bread, it says the risen loaf. It's the risen loaf. Hallelujah. the risen loaf. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, bread, of course, is one of the most sought-after commodities by all starving people of the world. Amen? America right now is the breadbasket of the world. Amen? I used to work for a guy in Oklahoma, driving a semi-truck. I'd wait for him to come in off the field with the combine. He'd dump 10,000 bushels of wheat onto my semi-truck. I'd drive it down to Johnson Grain at the Navigational River in Coweta, Oklahoma. Is that how I say it? Coweta, Oklahoma. And dump it down there to go on the barges, and then push it down the Navigational River to Louisiana, or we'll go over to the Soviet Union. He was the biggest wheat grower in all of Oklahoma. And all of his wheat went to the Soviet Union. America's the breadbasket of the world. America's the gospel lighthouse of the world and the breadbasket of the world. Amen? Amen. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Amen? Bread, one of the most sought-after commodities by all starving people of the world. Jesus was very concerned with people's physical hunger. But here he's not talking about physical hunger. He's talking about spiritual hunger. We know he was concerned with people's physical hunger. Look what he did with the loaves and the fish. Amen? Look what he did to the laws of mathematics and science. How he completely messed our thinking up when he multiplied the loaves and the fish. Because every time he took a piece of bread off that loaf, he wasn't dividing it. He was multiplying it. Go figure. Every time he took something away, he subtracted, he added to it. Woo! Amen? He's concerned about physical hunger. And we ought to be concerned with physical hunger. All the physical hunger in the world is not God's fault. There's plenty of food in the world for everybody. The starvation in the world is poor management on man's part. It's not God's fault. We could take care of it now if we made up our mind to do something about it. Amen? You get anything out of this morning? Not God's fault. He's a God of too much. But Jesus is not talking about physical hunger. He's talking about spiritual hunger here. Amen? Every person birthed into this earth has an inborn spiritual hunger to know God, to know God's love, to love God, and to be right with God. Amen? Amen? And Jesus said, I'm the only one who can satisfy your spiritual hunger. Well, there's lots of spiritual cupcakes out there. Lots of spiritual junk food out there. Krishna, Allah, Muhammad, just to mention some of the most popular make-believe forms of discipline. But none of them satisfy spiritual hunger. People who submit to that false doctrine, to those false spiritual leaders, live their lives spiritually hungry, and they know it. Amen? Glory be to God. Only Jesus can satisfy spiritual hunger. That's why he said, I am the bread of life. Amen? Satanism, astrology, all the cults and false religions of the world don't get it. You come away hungry every time. Go to John chapter 8 if you would. Hallelujah. Those spiritual hunger pangs never go away. Only Jesus can satisfy our spiritual hunger. Are you being satisfied spiritually? Your spiritual hunger, is it being satisfied here at the gathering through the precious, holy, written Word of God? Amen? That's Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen? He's the only one who can do that. It's a living book. It's the only living book in all the world. Amen? Every time I stand up here and preach the gospel and you read along with it, you're interfacing with the Word of God like two computers interface with one another. You know when you read your Bible, you're interfacing with the Word of God supernaturally. You hold that Bible in your face and that Word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's discerning your needs. It goes on the inside of you and determines what you need. And then searches the avenues of God's wisdom to find a way to make the satisfaction of your need come to pass supernaturally. Do you know that that's happening when you read the Bible? You're interfacing with it. You're not just reading it. It's reading you. Amen. It's reading you. It goes on the inside of you and discerns what you need and moves immediately to meet that need. It's the only book in the world that can do that. That's what just happened right now. As I just leave and I'm looking at it upside down and it's working. You understand what I'm saying, don't you? It's a living book. It's living and it's active and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Only Jesus can meet our spiritual needs, satisfy our spiritual hunger. John 8:12, Jesus said right here in verse 12, He said to them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of this life. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of this life. Jesus promises, you stick with Him, you might think you're in darkness, honey, but you're not. You're in spiritual light. Amen? You might think you don't hear from God, but you do. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. When Barbara and I don't know what to do, we never say we don't know what to do. We say we do know what to do because we have Jesus and He's the light of this world. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. We never say we don't know what to do. We say we do know what to do. It's just simple quantum physics. Amen? We always say we do know what to do. Now, sometimes, you know, the pressure comes on and you say something wrong. Just repent. Just repent. Say, no, I'm not. That's not what I mean. I take authority over those words. They have no power in my life. In the name of Jesus, I have what I say. I say, I hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. Just repent if you blow it. God's not concerned with how often we fall. He's concerned with how often we get up. Amen? He's the light of this life. He promises will not walk in darkness. You may seem to be in darkness for the moment, but you're not. He knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows what you need. He knows how to get you out of that situation, even though it might look like there's no means of escape. He's faithful and just to provide the means of escape, 1 Corinthians 10:13, that you may be able to bear up under it. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you might be under, He'll get you out. He'll meet that need. Just keep believing Him and watch what you say. Keep speaking in line with His Word. Amen? You believe that? It's just the basics we're talking about up here to date, but it's good. It's what the Holy Spirit's put on my heart, you know? Jesus is to His family what the sun is to the earth. Amen? We can't live without Him, but we're not without Him. Amen? With no sun, there'd be no animal life, no vegetable life, no plant life, no human life. This earth would freeze right over. Amen? But we do have the sun. Thank you, God, for the sun. You didn't have to do it, but you did. Barbara and I say, thank you, God, for chicken. You didn't have to do it, but you did. And you gave him two legs, not just one. Two wings, not just one. Two breasts, not just one. Thank you, God, for chicken. You didn't have to do it, but you did. I love chicken. It's my favorite thing to eat. When you invite me to your house, make chicken, make turkey, make me happy. Hallelujah. God is good. God is so good. Amen. He sent us Jesus so we don't have to sit in darkness. Amen. Jesus said, I am the light of this life. He that followeth me will not sit in darkness. You just think you're in darkness. You're not in darkness. He sees through the darkness. He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. He knows just what it's going to take to get you out of that stinking mess. Amen. And turn that mess into a message and turn that test into a testimony. Are you getting anything out of this today? Look at what else he said about himself over here in John chapter 10. This is good preaching. Look what he said in John chapter 10, verse 9. We could go off on all of these, but for time's sake, we're just going to hit them. Amen? All right out of John chapter 6, names Jesus gave to himself. John 10, say amen if you're there. Say oh my if you need a minute. John chapter 10, 9, Jesus said, I am the door. The door, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, most of the structures of the world that men build have many doors. The bigger the structure, the more doors. Amen? The bigger the structure, the more doors. But that's not true with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is huge, monstrous. Only there's one door. There's only one door in there. And Jesus said, it's me. Amen? Jesus said, I'm the only door into the kingdom. Well, I don't believe that, somebody said. I don't believe that. I said, you don't have to believe it for it to be true. God doesn't need, I told this individual, God doesn't need your approval to keep the laws that He slung into motion operating. It's true whether you believe it or no. We happen to believe it. We're the most blessed people in the world. Because we've entered into the kingdom through the one door. God doesn't have plan B and plan C. He has plan A, and it's Jesus.
Amen.
Cut and dry. Plain and simple. Jesus said, I am the door. Now, there's many religions, many philosophies, many opinions in the world. They all claim to be able to grant you access into God's presence. But the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, 12, that there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. Many of the world's false cults and religions and philosophies, they appear to be right. They seem to mean well. But Solomon said, even though they appear to mean well and they look good outwardly, he said the end thereof is death. And he's talking about spiritual death. There's three kinds of death in the Bible. And you need to know that there are three kinds of death in the Bible. So when you're reading about death, you know which death you're talking about. This physical death. And that's when you leave your body. When your spirit leaves your body and that old thing falls to the ground and we're stuck with it now and we got to do something with it. You're gone. You're gone. You either went to heaven or you went to hell. That's physical death. You're all going to heaven because you're all Jesus freaks. Amen. I'm going to call that too, you Jesus freak. I said, amen. Hallelujah. You Jesus fanatic. Well, if it's okay for me to be a baseball fanatic and a football fanatic, why can't I? That's what the word fan means, fanatic. Amen. I am a Jesus fanatic. I am a Jesus freak. Amen. And I believe that Jesus is the only door to God because He said He's the only door to God. Amen. So this physical death, that's when your spirit leaves your body. The spiritual death, and that's when your spirit is still in your body, but you're not in union with God. You're separated from Him, so you're spiritually dead. Still in your body, here on earth, living, breathing, stinking up the place, but your spirit is not in union with God, although it's still in your body, but you're spiritually dead and you're ruled by pride. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. You see that? There's physical death when your spirit leaves your body. There's spiritual death when your spirit's still in your body. You're physically alive, but you're not in union with God. And the Bible says you're spiritually dead. And then there's the second death. And you don't ever want to experience that. And you're never going to have to because of Jesus. And that is when your spirit leaves your body and Christ wasn't your Savior. And you go off into eternity without Him and you go down into a devil's hell for eternity and now you are experiencing what the Bible calls the second death. The second death. So there's physical death, spiritual death, and there's the second death. And now you know what the three of them are. And when you're reading about death in the Bible, you need to ask the Holy Spirit, what one of the three are you talking about here? So you can properly discern and rightly divide God's word. Amen. Look at right there in John chapter 10, back up to verse 1. Verily, I say unto you, Jesus said, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The same is a thief. What he's actually saying here, anybody who tells you you can go in through some other door than me is a thief and a robber because he's stealing your salvation. He's robbing you of eternity with God. Now, we either believe that Jesus was Lord, lunatic, or liar. Amen? And we happen to believe that He's Lord. He said, I am the door. This is what I'm celebrating this Christmas, who Jesus said He was. Amen? He said, I'm the bread, the risen loaf. I am the light of the world. I am the door. Over here also in John chapter 10, look right there in verse, we'll look at verse 11. Amen? Another name Jesus gave to Himself. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. The good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. Even if somebody else was willing to spill that blood for you, God wouldn't accept it. Even if, listen, what's His name? Reverend Moon isn't going to spill His blood for you. He wouldn't even pay His taxes. He's not going to spill His blood. But even if He did, God wouldn't accept it. Because it's human blood. It came from Adam. That's why Jesus had to be born of a virgin and not have an earthly father. Because babies get their blood, as you know, from their father, not their mother. Nursing, you agree? You have to agree. Research it. if you haven't. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, Barbara. Babies get their blood. It's a proven scientific fact. Babies get their blood from their father, not their mother. Now, they're connected with the mother through the umbilical cord and the placenta, and they get life and sustenance from their mother, but the blood came from the father. That's why Jesus couldn't have an earthly father in Joseph. He had to have God as his father and get his blood from God so that his blood was perfect blood to be offered at Calvary's cross, because God doesn't accept imperfect sacrifice. Amen? Praise be to God. He's the good shepherd. He gave his life for the flock. Even if someone else would give their blood, God wouldn't accept it. Our Savior had to be, as I already said earlier, did I say it to you while I still had the tape on, that he had to be human, willing, sinless, and divine? Or did I say that before the service? Amen. He had to be human because humanity sinned, and humanity had to pay for their own sins. That's why God became a man. He had to be willing because God doesn't accept anything less than cheerful giving. God, Paul said, God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, Jesus, as much as he suffered, he went to that cross cheerfully. He is graced by the agency of the Holy Spirit to go through such horrible suffering willingly and even cheerfully with a proper right mental, emotional, and spiritual attitude, an attitude of love. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm not willing to die for anybody. I'm just going to tell you, I'm not willing to do it. Amen? I might come down, it never will come down to the time where I might have to die for my wife or my daughter. I'd probably make an exception in that case, and if I had to, God would grace me. But I didn't want to think about it. Let's not even go there. I'm going to believe God. It's not going to happen. Jesus couldn't believe God. It wasn't going to happen. Jesus believed God for it to happen. And he had to do it willingly. He had to be human. He had to be willing. He had to be sinless. That's why he couldn't get his blood from his father. He had to get it from God. He had to have perfect blood, because it had to be a sinless sacrifice to recompense for sin, and he had to be divine. That's why, because he had to have the power to raise from the dead, because the penalty for sin is death. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. Nobody else, even if no human, even if they were willing, they couldn't be sinless and they couldn't be divine. There is no other Savior besides Jesus. Jesus said, I'm me, I am alone the good shepherd. I'm the only one who can get the job done. And he did get the job done. Amen? He called himself the good shepherd. Amen? And the good shepherd lives on the inside of every one of us, because a good shepherd lives with his sheep. A good shepherd won't abandon the sheep. The good shepherd never leaves the sheep. He lives with the sheep. And that's why the Bible says in Colossians 1:27 that Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you. Here's a prophecy about Jesus from Solomon in Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's Jesus. Solomon was talking about Jesus. He'll stick with you closer than a flesh and blood brother. Lives on the inside of you. He'll never leave you as an orphan in the storm. Amen. He said he's the good shepherd. He also called himself the resurrection and the life in John chapter 11. Go over there real quick. We'll have to move through these quickly now. Amen. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Really want you to see this one. I'm going to take a minute on this one, and I'll just give you the last two. Amen. This is what we're celebrating, you know. This is what we're celebrating at Christmas time. We're celebrating the bread of life. Amen. We're celebrating the light of this life. We're celebrating the door. We're celebrating the good shepherd. It doesn't matter if the devil likes it or not. He doesn't have to like it. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you there in 1 Thessalonians 4? Let's just read quickly here. You're also going to stay there in John 11 now, aren't you? How's the temperature in here this morning? It's better? All right. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I want you to look at these two verses together with me. Amen. First, we're going to look at the rapture, because I want you to see something Jesus said to Lazarus' brother, Lazarus' sister Martha. Amen. Are you there? Verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians 4. Paul said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, hey! And the voice of the archangel. And with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We call this the rapture. Titus calls it the catching away of the blessed hope. Amen. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but you know what we're saying when we say it. Amen? Let's not major on minors. It's talking about the blessed hope, the catching away, the rapture of the church. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. This is not the second coming. This is in the air. This is the rapture. The rapture and the second coming are two separate events. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. And I hope you are comforted by that, because Jesus might come in your lifetime. And you might not have to step through the veil of death. I hate that word. Amen? Death. Hallelujah. Because for the believer, there is no death. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we shall fear no evil, because we don't experience death. Amen? But here, Paul is teaching the Thessalonians concerning the coming of the Lord. Those who have already expired physically will go first, the grace will open, they'll be caught up, and then we'll go immediately at their heels. Probably be dirt falling on us from their graves. But we're going right at their heels. Amen? We shall not prevent them, Paul said. We won't go before them, they'll go before us. What a mind blower that's going to be when the cemeteries of the world just open up and believers just rocket out of here like the space shuttle. Amen? And then those of us who remain, who believe, are just right up there, right after them. Now look what Jesus said about himself over here in John chapter 11. And we'll pick it up. I'm going to do something different here. John chapter 11. Hallelujah. Lazarus is dead. Martha's bummed out. Jesus hates that word dead. Amen? Just like me. Because it's not all it's cracked up to be. Martha said unto him, let's look at verse 23. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day, Jesus, but that ain't helped me now. He's dead. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. See what he called himself? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Yes, he's prophesying over Lazarus, saying I'm going to raise him, but he's prophesying something else here we're going to see in a minute. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You know what he's saying here? He's prophesying here. This is the law of double reference going on here. Yes, he's telling her Lazarus is going to raise from the dead. Yes, he's telling her people who die in Christ will live eternally, never really die spiritually. But he's prophesying the rapture of the church. There's a hidden meaning in here. If you look at it with me again, he that believeth in me, look at it this way, at the time of the rapture, even though he's dead, yet shall he live. See, when Christ comes, the dead will rise. And at the time of the rapture, whosoever is alive or liveth and believeth in me shall not die. They'll be caught up. Believest thou this? He's telling Martha, I'm about to raise Lazarus from the dead. But he's also prophesying the rapture of the church. Do you see that in there? He said, at the time of the rapture, those who believe in me, even if they're dead, they'll live again. And those who are living at the time of the rapture and believe in me, they won't die. They'll get caught up right at their heels, like Paul taught in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. We don't have to fear death. Amen? He's our Lord. He's our Savior. If he should tarry, some of us are probably going to have to go on to heaven apart from the rapture. But maybe he won't tarry. And if he doesn't, we'll all go as a part of the rapture. Amen? Those of us who are alive will not die, will be caught up with him to remain with him forever. Do you see that? Look at John 14, 6 real quick. Hallelujah. And if Jesus does tarry and some of us have to lay these old bag of bones down and go on off to heaven, we have nothing to be concerned about, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be instantly and effortlessly present in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Just a simple stepping through the veil. Amen? 1 second you're here, the next second you're there, you're standing there in heaven and you're saying, "Woo! It's real! Whew! I never want to go through that again. But you'll be there. Do you believe that? That's what Christmas is all about. This is my Christmas message to you this morning. What Jesus said about himself. Amen? Hallelujah. He's not a baby in a manger. He's not a dead man on the cross. He's the door. He's the bread. He's the light. He's the resurrection and the life. He's alive. He's a risen Savior. He's a risen loaf. When he called himself bread, he's prophesying there too. All these little secret meanings from Dr. Jesus. Amen? His degree in quantum physics. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Jesus knew the world was round when he walked on. Everybody else thought it was flat. He knew it was round. He made it! Amen? Christopher Columbus discovered that the world was round. He went sailing off not knowing if the world was flat. And one of the most prized possessions he took with him in that ship was his Bible. And if only he read Proverbs chapter 8 before he left, he wouldn't have left, because the Bible says that God scribed a compass on the face of the deep right there in Proverbs chapter 8. That's what happens when you lug that big old family Bible around with you and you never read it. You don't get revelation, amen? He went off looking to see if the world was flat, carrying the big old 40-pound family Bible with revelation in there, said, Christopher, don't bother, it's round. And he believed in the Bible. He went off and did what he did in the name of Christ. Well, he confirmed the Bible is what he did, and we appreciate it. We thank him for it. Everybody say, thank you, Chris. Look at John chapter 14. Amen. You getting anything out of this morning? It's my Christmas message. I knew you'd enjoy it. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And we believe it, don't we? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He said, I am the right way. I am the truth that sets you free. And I am the only source of eternal life. That's what he was saying right there. I am the right way. I am the truth that sets you free. And when the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. I ought to know, I'm 27 years free of cocaine addiction, 27 years free of alcoholism, 22 years free of tobacco and immorality and everything else that you can imagine the devil throw at a human being when he gets inside of you. Amen? When the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. I'm God's free man. You're God's free man. Free woman. You stay that way too. Amen? Gave us authority over Satan and demon powers. Amen? He said, in my name, you shall cast out unclean spirits. When they come around, tell them, go! I'm God's free man! And they have to obey you. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about kicking the fire out of the devil in Jesus' strong name. Amen? It's not about genuflect into a little concrete thing of a baby there on the fireplace mantle once a year. It's about authority over Satan and demon powers. It's about living life victoriously. There are evil spirits in this earth, you know. The same evil spirits. Anybody bored with this? Same evil spirits that Jesus cast out of human beings are in this earth today. Some of them could be right here on Cape Cod. It's possible when you've prayed for people, you have bound up evil spirits that were in the earth that Jesus cast out of people. Did you ever think about that? Same evil spirits still here. They don't have to leave until Revelation chapter 20, 1 through 20, when the angel comes to lock them in the pit. They have a right to be here, but they don't have a right to harass you and torment you if you don't want them to. You just tell him, go. Open your mouth and tell him, go. Stop harassing me. Stop harassing my family. Go from my finances. Don't harass me on the job. Go, go, go in Jesus' strong name. Now, when you first get this revelation, they'll try you on for size. See if you really mean it. But if you'll just out-persist them, they'll go. And your life will change. Amen. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Amen. He's the source of all scientific truth. All psychological truth, all philosophical truth, scientific truth, historical truth. He is the source of all truth. Amen? Hallelujah. No one gets an audience with God who refuses to go through Jesus. We get an audience with God, and we get to stay as long as we want without anybody coming and telling us there's another busload outside waiting, you got to go. You can stay in His presence as long as you want. He said, I am the way, I'm the truth. I am the life. You know what I preach about that, how other people say he's a good man. He's a good teacher. He's a good prophet, but he's a liar. He's not what he said he was. Well, you can't be a good man, a good teacher, and a good prophet and be a liar. At the same time, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's all there is to it. He's either Lord, lunatic, or liar. We believe he's Lord. One more real quick. Don't close those Bibles yet. Go to John chapter 15. We'll let you go on this one. Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 15. It's my Christmas message. Amen. Hallelujah. I say things the way I do on purpose. Amen. This is just the way I am. This is how God has gifted me. God has not called me to do Kenneth Copeland imitations. He's not called me to do Oral Roberts imitations. He's called me to be Pastor John with the anointing and the personality that he's blessed me with. Amen. I say things, I'll tell you, I say things in a way you don't forget them. Amen. Hallelujah. That's my job. Amen. Hallelujah. I put my life into everything that I share with you because I'm a good shepherd too. I'm an under shepherd under the great shepherd of the sheep. And he's given his life for you. I give my life for you. I put everything in my life into coming here to minister to you twice a week and to pray for you. So does my wife. She's the good shepherdess. Goody Hamill. Amen. Over here, John chapter 15. Look what Jesus said. He said in verse 5, I am the vine. I'm the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. I'm the vine. I'm going to read it again. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Anytime you cut a branch away from the trunk of a tree, that branch immediately begins the process of dying. Some trees live longer than others. Some shrubs, bushes, you cut something off them, they'll live longer than others. If you put them in water, maybe for a short while after being cut away, they'll live, just like some believers. They bail out of church. They seem to be doing okay for a short period of time, but after a while, they die. Amen? Well, we don't have to die because we're not going anywhere. We're not going to separate ourselves from Jesus. Amen? We're not going to cut ourselves off from the vine. Amen? We're going to stay connected to the vine because the first banana to leave the bunch is the first banana to be peeled. Amen? The first banana to leave the bunch is the first banana to be peeled. The first log to roll away from the fire is the first log to cool off. We don't have to get peeled by the devil. We don't have to be peeled by the devil. We don't have to roll away and cool off. Amen? Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Maurice, did you want to say something?
Yes, first verse, he says, I am the true vine.
I am the true vine. Read the rest of the verse.
And my Father is the vine dresser.
He's the vine dresser. Jesus said, I am the true vine. And apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus said, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together with one another in Hebrews 10:25. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together with one another. Particularly as you see that day approaching, it's so important to stay in church and stay connected to the vine. Stay connected to the vine. This is my Christmas message. Stay connected to the vine. Amen? You folks are faithful. 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 And that every time those doors are open, that door is open, these doors are open, you're in here. And that's what it takes to walk in covenant with God and to be blessed of God. Amen. I'm reminded in closing, if you want to close your Bibles now, you may. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Of a man who was overrun with squirrels on his property. Hundreds and hundreds of squirrels on his property. And you remember Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of this world. I'm the only door. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the vine. Amen. And apart from me, you can do nothing. Overrun, overrun. He went to his neighbor and he said, I noticed that you don't have as many squirrels on your property as I do. I'm overrun with them. He said, how do you get rid of your squirrels? He said, well, I'm a Catholic. I go to the church down the street here. And Father Malt Cahy down there at the Catholic Church, he just seems to have answers for everything. He helped me with my squirrels. He can help you with yours. Go down and just see him. Tell him I sent you down there. So the guy went down to see Father Mulcahy, who always had God's wisdom on everything. apparently, allegedly. The man went and said, my neighbor sent me down here, said he goes to your church. I'm overrun with squirrels in my property, and he said you could help me. What can I do to get these squirrels off my property? And he said, well, I can't totally get rid of them for you, but I can mostly get rid of them for you. Here's what we'll do. I'll come over to your yard as a Catholic, leader in the Catholic Church, a Catholic priest, and I'll begin to sprinkle the squirrels with holy water. And then I'll confirm them into the church. And once they're sprinkled with holy water and confirmed into the Catholic Church, he said, they'll leave, but only for 363 days a year. They're going to start showing up every year at Christmas and Easter. But at least you'll get rid of them for most of the time. And we need to not be squirrely about our church attendance. Amen? Hallelujah. We'll get rid of them most of the time, but they're still going to show up on Easter and Christmas. Amen? Let's stand up and worship God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you personally and directly, Jesus, that you chose to come and pay the penalty for our sins. Lord, that's what Christmas is all about. That's what it's all about. Jesus, you're the bread of life, the risen loaf, you called yourself, the light of the world, the only door, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, the life and the vine, and that's what you are to us. And we thank you that we don't have to live independent of you, Father. We're no longer spiritually dead and ruled by pride. We're in union with you. We're joint heirs with Jesus, sons and daughters of God. God, we thank you again for putting this church right in the midst of all you're about to do and even are doing in this earth. In Jesus' powerful name, thank you, Lord, for using us as individuals, for blessing us as individuals, for blessing us corporately, blessing our families. And God, we thank you that we can take these healing cloths in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I can lay my hands on them according to the anointing of God that's on my physical body and life right now, God. Came upon me before I even came here this morning, Lord, for this express purpose, God, to release it again into these healing cloths, Father, in Jesus' name, so that these folks can take it home and receive a blessing. They can put it in their pocketbooks, in their wallets, in their checkbooks, in their pocket for their physical body. Pin it over an afflicted area in their bodies. Give it to a loved one who needs to be saved and delivered and healed and made whole. There goes the anointing of God out of my left hand into these cloths in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just give you these cloths. You take them for whatever purpose you feel you have need of it, and you expect the anointing of God to be released into that area of your life. In Jesus' name, I say Merry Christmas. And yes, I do mean Christ in the name of Jesus. Another one for Mark right there in Jesus' name. This one, hallelujah, hallelujah. Take this one that I'm folding for Mark in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Sandy, have a couple, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sleep with it on your pillow. You have quite a few there, amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Now, our faith isn't in these cloths. These cloths are a point of contact to release our faith in God's Word and in our covenant with Him through Jesus. Amen? Our faith is not in these cloths. There's anointing in these cloths, and where you place it, it will be released and it will go to work. And even the angels of God themselves will search the avenues of God's wisdom to find ways to make this anointing work in your lives and in your loved ones' lives if you believe. But our faith isn't in Acts 19:11-12. In that our faith is not in the healing cloths. Our faith is in the Word of God that says that the anointing of God will come from these cloths and go into our area of need, into our loved ones' lives. Are you getting that? Our faith is not in the cloth. It's a point of contact to release our faith in God's Word and release our faith in the anointing. Hallelujah. Let's worship God. Hallelujah. This Christmas season, let's just sing and worship God. Thank you for the name of Jesus. Thank you for the power in His name. Thank you for every name of Jesus and all the things that He is to us, Father. We give you praise and we give you glory and we thank you for Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.